Remember the Maine. My country, right or wrong. 54-40 or fight. Trans women or women. Black Lives Matter. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Just do it. I'm loving it. Remember the Alamo. I think that for better and for worse, our lives are profoundly guided by slogans. And slogans call us to action and encapsulate complex ideas in small little sound bites. The problem is that they attempt to encapsulate complex ideas in small little sound bites, and complex ideas aren't small little sound bites. So we end up getting led around by these slogans, whether we agree with them or not. That's not the point, is the soundness of the slogan. Because a slogan's soundness is not based on its veracity. A slogan's soundness is based on its soundbitedness and its catchiness and its appeal to something. I'm loving it. Yeah, I'm loving it. That's good. The problem is that slogans themselves are supposed to be indicators, but they substitute for thought. And we end up having an entire politics of sloganeering and an entire lifestyle of sloganeering. And these slogans short-circuit thought, and they short-circuit critical thinking of all sorts. And it would be really easy for me to do yet another of my cranky screeds about how we substitute sound bites for thinking. But I think the problem is much deeper than that, because the problem is that I think biophysically we are, that's not a problem though. The reality is that biophysically we are made, born, evolved to learn, to respond to slogans. And that's how we learn, by sing-song. We learn through rhyme, through meter. When I was a child, my mom would often wake me up by singing, "It's time to get up, it's time to get up, it's time to get up in the morning." And there's a certain sort of galloping rhythm that makes me remember that 55 years later. In my 20s, I was friends with this cowboy poet, Waddy Mitchell, who would talk about how out on the range, they would tell stories around the campfire. They didn't have TV or radio or anything. And he said that the way he thought that poetry evolved was that you can tell a joke once, but if you put the joke in rhyme and you attach a meter, or you fit it to a meter, then night after night, all the other people around the campfire will say, "Tell me that one again." There is something about an old woman who lived in a shoe. There is something about Humpty Dumpty. There is something about mnemonics, and something about, there's a musical quality to rhyme and meter that make it so they reach into us on a profound level. And we've talked about that in previous videos about how in music there are certain power chords that can open you up, and then you can have some 21-year-old misogynist musician say whatever lyrics he came to mind, and you're opened up to those. Or you can have 50,000 people chanting, "I'm on the highway to hell." There's something profound about, there's something innate about us remembering through slogan. That's how we were supposed to be taught that these berries are, that's how we can remember, these berries are poisonous, don't eat them. Those berries are okay. We were taught that through stories, through little rhymes, little mnemonics. And one of the problems is that slogans then turn into toxic mimics of these poems, these storytelling lessons. And they're further toxified by mass culture and by mass media so that they can be broadcast out. And I want to be really clear. One of the purposes, evolutionary purposes of slogans like this would be for us to be able to short-circuit thinking so that when I see that berry, I don't have to think that's poisonous, but I've been taught that's poisonous. I don't have to learn it on my own. That is positively adaptive. The problem is that when it's applied on a mass scale, or when it's applied in ways for which it was not originally intended, that this short circuiting of thinking is no longer a positive attribute, but instead an absolute detriment.